Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, May 6th, Thankful Tuesday. Now, some of you were able to send me what you were thankful for last week. I can't wait to share some of those at the end of the podcast. But if you didn't share last week, I would love for you to send me a text or an email outlining the person, place, thing, and attribute of God that you are thankful for so that we can celebrate with you God's goodness. Our first passage is Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. I'll be reading in the New International Version. The Rich Man and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This passage is haunting to me. The man lived in luxury, and he really didn't give a second thought to Lazarus, the poor beggar who was at his gate every day. "Father, please forgive us for getting in our own world, living in the lap of luxury, and not concerning ourselves with other people and their needs. Ultimately, Lord, help us to trust in your word as well. Help us to trust in what we learn in the Old Testament about the Messiah who is to come and about who you are and your character, how you delivered Moses and you gave him the law of the heart. Thank you for Jesus, who has clarified this in the Sermon on the Mount and has challenged us. We pray, Lord, that we would listen to him today. Turning over to Mark chapter 11, we're in verses 27 through 33. They arrived again in Jerusalem, and while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you authority to do this?" Jesus replied, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, was it from heaven or of human origin? Tell me." They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, 'Well, why didn't you believe him?' But if we say of human origin," they feared the people, for everyone held that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." In this passage, Jesus exposes their cowardice and their hypocrisy. They want to trap Jesus, but yet when he asks them a question, they're worried about what the people will think. And if they answer, "Well, John, he really was from God," then they know that Jesus has them trapped. For us as believers, we might think about applying this text by remembering that Jesus is in all authority over every area of our lives. We might step back and examine, what are some areas where I struggle with giving that authority over to Jesus? And then we might turn it into a prayer. "Lord, I know that you have authority over all things. Help me to trust in your authority and to believe that what you have is best." Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19 state this: "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community." Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. When we are doing this, we are asking the Lord to transform us. We just don't want information from God's word, but we want it to prick our hearts and to change our minds so that we are more like Jesus, our Lord. I want to share some of the expressions of thankfulness that I received from different people in our congregation and those who listen that helped me to be even more thankful for who God is. Kathy was thankful for her husband, Skip, completing 46 years at ACIPCO, a wonderful place where founder John Egan followed the Holy Spirit and founded this organization, this industry, upon the golden rule. She's also thankful for her husband, Skip, and we are too, for his character in representing Christ to employees and colleagues, and for the things that a job has provided, like home and food and clothing. Mark Payne, who was on the podcast recently, he's thankful for salvation and the gift of family and friends, and the awesome opportunity it has been to work here at Mountain Brook Baptist, for the friends that he's made for life. And he's also thankful for Project 119. Mark, we're thankful for you as well. Sheila writes that she's thankful for our conversations and for our church. And finally, all the way from South Carolina, my dad, one of Project 119's most faithful listeners, is thankful for the person who hired him for his first real job, who was kind and helpful, and the place where he grew up, Converse, South Carolina, where there were thousands of other kids who liked to play outside. He's also thankful for chemotherapy that saved his life. And ultimately, he's thankful for the attribute of God, God's love. For God so loved the world, and that includes me and everyone else, which saved my life for eternity. Amen. Thank you for sharing with me what you are thankful for. Will you pray with me? Father, open our lips and our mouths shall declare your praise. May our lips continually praise you. Do not allow us to have condemnation and praise for you in the same sentences. Lord, help us to remember that each person around us is sacred, someone made in your image. And so cover our mouths and give us a sense of walking in your path. Holy Spirit, guide my brothers and sisters today. We thank you, Lord, for so many things, but we want to hone in on several of them. We thank you for a person today. We lift them up to you, Lord, in praise. We thank you for a place. Lord, you're so gracious to us. Thank you for the many things that you gift us. Thank you for something on our body that we might take for granted if it wasn't functioning properly. But we give you thanks today that it is. And finally, Lord, we thank you for your attributes, your character, who you are, your authority over all things, and your willingness and the integrity of heart that it took, Jesus, for you to set your face towards the cross, enduring the shame for our benefit, so that we might be able to live like Lazarus in eternity with you. We love you, Lord, and we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.